All right, so we are holding in Tesavov, Omer Aleph, but sort of the way down the Omer by the two dots. Oh, no, check that, by the middle of the Omer, rather, also by the two dots, line begins the Yosei. So the Mishnah, the line begins the Yosei, two dots over there, Umardim Chachamim. The Mishnah said, Umardim Chachamim with Rabbi Akiva Baroya Kesem. We had a Machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. We had a Machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, and it was mentioned also in the previous Perek. If a woman, when a woman becomes Tami Nida, then if her husband had relations with her during Me'es La'es before that, would he be Tomei as a Boil Nida or not? We say that there's a Gzeira D'Rabban on that for Me'es La'es, for up to 24 hours before the Re'iyah, we consider her Safek Tomei as far as Truma and Kodshim. Do we also say that that would affect her husband, that he would be Safek Tomei of Boil Nida, which would be Truma of 7 days, like her? Or would we say that it's just, okay, he's Tomei because he's Tomei, if she checked right after, if she checked shortly after Tashmish, for example, and found blood, then okay, we're saying that, he touched her during Tashmish, obviously, so he's Tomei as somebody who touched a Nida, but that's only one day's Tomei. So the Chachamim has said we're not Mekame him as a Boil Nida for that. Second. We started over here. Okay. So we're in the middle of Tesavav Amud Aleph by the two dots, the Moedim Chachamim. So in the Mishnah, again, we had said that the Rabbi Akiva says that when we say that she's Tomei Me'es La'es retroactively from the Re'iyah, then her husband is also Tomei as a Boil Nida during that time.
When did you say?
I guess starting now, so it's day 30. And we only just started, it's fine, relax. And if not, I'm just recapping what we said in the Mishnah. If the Chachamim disagree with that and say that no, the most Rabbi Akiva says that we're metame is boiler as a boil nida, and the Chachamim must say that no, we're only metame him as the suffix as somebody who touched a nida. But we said in the Mishnah, middle of the Tesavav Amud Aleph by the two dots. Umoidim Chachamim Rabbi Akiva. The Roya Kesem, we said the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Akiva. If the woman sees a Kesem, finds a stain of blood on her clothing, then we said she Matame es Boyala, then she is Matame, the one who had relations with her. So what does that mean? Omer Rav Lamafreya. So Rav says we're talking about also Lamafreya. What we mean, just like when we talked about previously in the Mishnah, that we said if she has a Re'iyah, we're talking about what happens during the 24 hours before that. The same way here, we're talking about Roya Kesem, what happens? This is how he learned. This is how he learned from his Rebbein. Listen. Rav Meir, he would say, our Mishnah, therefore, is only according to Rav Meir. Namely, like this.
So
listen, we're talking about the Me'es La'es. We're talking about the Mafreya. We mean, in other words, so she found a Kesem, let's say, on Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. Previously, Monday night at 10 o'clock, they'd had relations. So the Mishnah would be saying that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Akiva that her husband is Tomei as a Boil Nida. Now, that can't be the regular Chachamim. That can't be the regular Rabbanan, because they wouldn't necessarily say that. That would be only according to Rabbi Meir. They would say that he's not. It's only according to Rabbi Meir. In other words, the Chachamim of our Mishnah, Moedim Chachamim, would be specifically Rabbi Meir, which we learned in the previous Perek, and we're going to learn later on, the fifth Perek, that Rabbi Meir, in certain senses, is Machmir with Chachamim in a certain sense, even more than Re'iyah. Even though the Chachamim in general, including Rabbi Meir, would say that we're not Metame him if it was Me'es La'es before Re'iyah, but we are going to be Metame him if it was Me'es La'es before Kesem, where they had relations. On the ground that Rabbi Meir would say, for one thing, because of Kesem, we have no possible way of knowing when it happened. It may have been days ago. As opposed to a Re'iyah, the Chachamim are saying, the maximum it could have been was it started 24 hours ago. So that's according to Rav. Because the Kesem could, because of, well, you don't know. You have no idea when the Kesem could have been. It could have been from a long time ago, as opposed to a Re'iyah. We said in the first paragraph that there's no reason to assume that it started more than 24 hours ago. Okay, therefore, a mayor is more machmir with a kesem, and therefore, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point, therefore. Okay, therefore, the chachamim of our Mishnah, Rav says, means specifically Rav Meir is going to be more machmir with kesem. The general chachamim would disagree with that. That is why they would say that he's not Tomei as a Boil Nida. They would say that, they'd take his rest. No, they would say a kesem is also 24 hours, but not more than that. All right, okay. Well, Shmuel on the Mekan Olahabav Rabbanon, where Shmuel would say that it's only talking about from now on, and it would be, and therefore, the Rabbanon means the regular Rabbanon. We mean, in other words, if she found a Kesem, and after that her husband had relations with her, then he's Tomei as a Boil Nida. So the question is, what do you mean, the Kanalaba Pshitta? Isn't that obvious? So what's to be moda? If the whole point is the Chachamim are arguing with Rav Akiva about the Mafreya, they're obviously not arguing the Kanalaba. So what do we need to be saying that they agree with the Kanalaba? The answer is Mao Detema, yeah, but you would think like this. Hoyo Umaesla Es Drabbanon, given that the whole concept of being Metameh or Mesafik Maesla Es is only Drabbanon, Uksamim Drabbanon, and also the whole concept of Ksamim making her, the whole concept that a Kesem on her clothes makes her Tameh is also only Midrabbanon, because Midaraisa would say she's only Tameh only if there was Hagosha, only if she actually felt it coming out. So therefore, we would say a Re'iyah means that something came out. So that, no, if there's a Hagosha without Re'iyah, Hagosha would mean that something is coming out, yeah. So therefore, you would think, therefore, we could think that just like the Chachamim are not Metame, her husband, if he had relations with her Me'eslaes before the Re'iyah, ask Ksamim le'metame'es bayla, you would think the same thing with Ksamim, even Mikana la'ba, given that that's also only Drabbanan, maybe it shouldn't be Metame him. Therefore, Kamash Mulan, therefore Shmuel says, that is what the Mishnah wants to tell us. The Chachamim are distinguishing between those two Drabbanan. The Drabbanan of the retroactively, Me'eslaes, they're not going to be Metameh him, but the Drabbanan, where she's Tameh from a Kesem, and therefore the result is, if he has relations with her, he's also Tameh as a Boyal Nidah, that they, or Tzafik, Tzafik Boyal Nidah at least, that they will impose on him.
So they're more make you.
So they're more make-o for
Aria than for Kesem?
Again, they're more makel for me'es la'es, for the retroactive 24 hours before Re'iyah, than they are for after a kesem has been found. So the question is, ve'ema hachinami. So maybe the Chachamim, why is Shmuel so sure that in that case the Chachamim are going to impose on him the Truma of Boyal Nidah? Maybe indeed we would say it's a Dirabbanan, me'es la'es is also Dirabbanan, and therefore they wouldn't say he's Tomei as a Boyal Nidah either way. The answer is, Hacha. The answer is, in that case, when it comes to the Me'es Lef, the retroactive 24 hours, there's no Shur Shechted in front of you. Shur Shechted Lefanecha is an expression the Gemara uses elsewhere to mean like we have an obvious fact in front of us, which now we have to determine what the details were. So, in other words, the point is, when it comes to the Me'es Lef, there's no Shur Shechted Lefanecha, because the fact of the matter is, we didn't see a Re'iyah yesterday. We have. We're making a Siyog. We're making a Gzeira. We're making a fence around the Torah to say that up to 24 hours before. So, therefore, there's not reason for the Chachamim to extend that to her husband as well. Hacha, yes, Shur Shechted Lefanecha. As opposed to over here, the fact is, there is a Shur Shechted. There is a stain of blood on the clothing, after all. It had to have come from somewhere. It didn't, as Rashi says when we talk about Ksamim later on in the Sefer. We're going to talk about, you know, you can have possible things that you could be toileted in. If she was, for example, you know, if she shechted a bird, for example, or if she was in a butcher shop or whatever, fine, you could assume that we would say that we could attribute it to that. But because we didn't have any of that, so therefore we have Shur Shechted Lefanecha. We have a blood stain where the obvious thing is it must have come from her because we don't have any other source to attribute it to. So it's like we have a Shur Shechted Lefanecha. Therefore, we have a much stronger reason to be gozer and say that if after that Shur Shechted is found, her husband has relations with her, we have much more reason to say that we're going to impose Trumas Boyal Nida on him as well, even though the whole concept is only Drabbanan. Okay. So that's Machlokes. Where's the Machlokes? There's no Shur Shechted. You didn't yet have. The Shur is not Shechted until the next day when the Re'iyah comes. So at the time, when they had relations, there was no Shur Shechted and no particular reason to think, therefore, that she may have been Tomei at the time. We say, just to be on the safe side, she may have been, and therefore we say the Truma and Kodshim and so forth are Tomei, but not that we're going to extend it as far as her husband. Okay. So that's the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So Gemara says it's not just between them. B'chein Omer Rishlokesh L'Mafreya V'Rameri. Rishlokesh learns like Rav. The Mishnah is talking about the Chachamim, namely the Meir, are agreeing about the 24 hours before the Kesem is found, and it's only according to the Meir. Rav Yechanan, I'm in the kind of law, but Rabbanan, he was, Rav Yechanan would say that the Chachamim of our Mishnah means the Chachamim in general, and it's talking about after the Kesem was found, not the 24 hours before. Okay. So that's two different ways of understanding when the Moedim Chachamim, but I'll give it two different ways of explaining it. Does it mean what happens if they had relations within the 24 hours before the Kesem, or does it mean we're talking about what happens if they have relations after the Kesem? Okay. Mishnah says, the halacha is that we're talking Mikana Lava. We learned in the previous parak already that we don't apply the Me'es Lef to him retroactively. Mishnah says, Kolam Nashim Bechesdim Tar Labalayim. All women have a chazakah of being tahor for their husbands without bedikas. Because we learned in the previous parak and earlier in our parak that you need bedikas, but that's primarily for truma and kodshim. But just to have relations with her husband, she doesn't really require them, with, of course, the provisions that we're going to deal with in the Gemara, because it's not so simple. Haboy min aderech. Similarly, if a man comes home from a trip, Nishayin Lahan, Bechaz Bastara, then his wife has a Chaz Bastara if he left her. So in particular, the Mechorishim explained, well, obviously, then that's a Chazaka would be, right. But in other words, he can assume, unless she tells him otherwise, that she has taught her. So we're going to see, of course, various provisions about that in the Gemara. One thing is, of course, it only applies, first of all, that would only apply if when he left she was tahor. If when she left he was tameh, we already learned in the previous parak, then she had to explicitly tell him she's tahor, which is how we have the concept nowadays in halacha, that when the woman comes home from the mikveh, she has to tell her husband, he asks her and he shares or whatever, I am tahor, I went to the mikveh. Otherwise, you still have the chazakah that she's tameh from before. Yeah. Okay. Come on. I think it could be either way. I think it can be he asks her and she answers, or I think it could be she volunteers it. Anyway, not sure about that, though. Okay. Anyway, the mission of the Gemara starts off. Lama leila misnei aborim min aderech. Why specifically does the Mishnah have to mention the case where the guy came home from a trip? The answer is, safkadat chamina, because otherwise wouldn't the same din mechora apply if he's in town? The answer is no. Safkadat chamina, you would think like this. Hani mili, when would we say that she has a chesed tara? Heichad isei b'mosa, only if her husband is in town, where there she knows that any evening he could want to have relations with her. Therefore, d'ramya anafshil badka. Therefore, we can assume that she's going to put it to mind, and she's going to make sure to do a bedika, because she wants to be available for her husband at any time. Aval Hecha Delesta Bamasa, but if her husband is anyway out of town, Deloy Ramya Napsha, where they are not necessarily is going to come to mind. Why should she bother making herself tahor? Her husband's not necessarily going to be available. Lo, you would think maybe not. Maybe she doesn't necessarily have a Chesed Tahara. Kamash Olam, therefore the Mishnah tells us even if he's coming home from a trip, and how much more so also if he was in town.
So that implies that she would consider herself
No, so it means, in other words, that she's doing the Bedikas, and therefore, right. If she is Tomei, she'll know about it, basically, right. Right. With that said, by the way, an interesting point is, which comes up as we go through the Sugya, one thing, the Yerushalmi point, the Tosis points out on other days from the Yerushalmi, that this also implies that it means that when it comes to mikveh night, that she's actually going to go on that night and not delay, because otherwise you don't necessarily have, actually, well, that comes up more later in the Sugya, so let's deal with that later. Okay, fine. Okay, Amar Shlokish Mishrim Rebihud Nesia. Rehusha Ba'u Masa B'Soshime O'Nasa. This concept only applies that we're saying that she has a Chesed Tara, only applies if when her husband came back home, he was still within the time of her Oina. Now, what is Oina? So Rashi explains, means within 30 days of her previous Re'iyah. Most women have a cycle of 30 days. So therefore, if it's after that time, then you need to be choshish that she may have become nidah during that time, because most women, it usually takes, usually 30 days is the average length of a cycle.
But it should be 14 days when she starts.
She went to, remember, keep in mind, nowadays we have, it comes out, practically speaking, you have approximately 12 days of Tumah and then the rest of the month is Tara. The original din, as we learned, the original din, as it was in the times, of, as it was still in the times of the Gemara, is most months you only have 7 days of Tumah. You have, she becomes Nidah at some point, and there's, for the balance of those 7 days she's Tumah, and then she goes to the Mikra, and the remaining 23 days she's Tara. But the fact is, usually from one Re'iyah, and from 1 month to Re'iyah, from the beginning of one cycle until the beginning of the next cycle, is usually around 30 days.
That's called
Besoshime Onasa. So if he finds her, so let's say, for example, she has a regular Oina every Rosh Chodesh, let's say, it's known that it begins, and he left, so she went to the Mikvah on Zion, she went to the Mikvah on the night after Zion, he, let's say, left on his trip on Chesukes. He comes back home on Chof Zayin, let's say, of the month, 23 weeks later. We can assume that she's still Tahor. But if he comes back, let's say, the middle of the following month, then already, yes. Right. Well, or at least we don't know for a fact. I mean, obviously, it's highly, highly likely that there was a Re'iyah during that time, and we don't know necessarily whether she went to the mikveh yet, unless she actually asked, or unless she actually volunteers the information. Now, by the way, though, There are different Rishonim that talk about that maybe Sochimei Onasa might not necessarily mean 30 days. It might mean within the expected amount of time that her cycle lasts. Some women have longer cycles, some have shorter ones. This particular point is Negea as far as the question. Nowadays, most women don't have regular cycles. So one of the things that you have to be, one of the times that you have to be choshesh and she has to do bedikas for is on the onabenis, which according to the vast majority of poskim is the 30th day. We said the ozeruah holds the 31st day. But
you still consider this a merna when it's calculated?
Oh, not the ozeruah, the chalakdas. Yeah, no, one second. The point is, in other words, not. So nowadays, most women have irregular cycles. Therefore, one of the times that you have to be choshesh, we're going to learn as we go throughout the sector, that one of the times you have to be choshesh that she might have a re'iyah would be 30 days from the previous one. The Chabad Das says the 31st, but everybody else does the 30th.
My question is, when she has irregular cycle, it's very more than 3 days, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say very 5 days.
No.
She still considers to have it or not?
No, she doesn't have it. That's the point. Listen. So therefore, but if she has a Ves Kavua, if she does have a regular thing every 30th day or every Rosh Chodesh or every whatever, however it can be, then based on what Rashi's saying over here, it sounds like she would still need the check at 30 days because there's still the possibility that it happens. According to many other Rishonim, that would not be necessary, which is, in fact, the accepted halacha. If a woman has a fully regular cycle, which is somewhat uncommon nowadays, then she doesn't have to be choshesh for own abeinus. Okay. Anyway, going on. Amar of Huna, lo shonu el she'en lavet. This that was saying in the Mishnah, that if he, actually Rashi explains that Rav Huna's statement is actually on top of Rish Lakish's statement. Rish Lakish has said if he finds her the first Shemei Nasa, and Rav Huna is adding a further qualification to that. Many other
differences in the best and Oina.
Oina means a period. So it can mean, in this case, it means 30 days, which is the regular expected amount of time that will be between one menstruation and the next. Vest means specifically the expected time when that period, when that menstruation is going to happen. Okay.
So there's a date?
It could be a day, it could be a day of the week. Right. Okay. So Amar Rav Huna, so again, Rashi is learning that Rav Huna is saying another detail on top of what Rish Lakish is saying. Again, other Rishonim learn differently and say they're two different statements that Rav Huna is referring back to the Mishnah. Lois Shonu El Hashem Lovest. This that was saying, according to Rish Lakish, let's say that if he finds her Besochimei Enasa, then she considered to her is only she'ein la vest, only if she doesn't have a vest, a regular cycle. Avo yesh la vest, but if she has a regular cycle, also la shamish, then they would not be allowed to have relations unless he actually finds out that she saw her. What do you mean? No, it's just the opposite. Klapi laya. Isn't that backwards? That seems to go the opposite direction. Adarabi, itcha mistabra. It seems more logical the other way around. Ein la vest, ein machazoi. If she doesn't have a vest, then there's a real possibility that she may have bled while he was away. Yesh la vest. But if she has a fixed vest kviyala, then you know she's going to have it, generally speaking, when the vest comes. So if he comes before the next vest is expected, what's the problem? Let's say, for example, so again, according to Rashi is learning that what Rav Huna is saying is on top of what Rish Lakish is saying. So let's say, for example, we're talking about a woman whose regular cycle is, let's say, 20 days. So it sounds like we're saying, okay, if it was more than 30 days and you have a problem anyway, it's not necessarily enough anymore. But on top of that, Rav Huna is saying that if she has a vest, then why? She has a vest every 20 days. You came back after 15 days, so what's the problem? Adarabi, you should say, if she doesn't have a vest, there's a possibility that she may have bled during that time. Now, Ela, I itmar, hochi itmar. You're right. If it was said, this that Rav Huna said, hochi itmar, it was rather said as follows. Amar Rav Huna, lo shonu ela shalei yeh shas vest. This that we're talking about, that she's mutzertayim, provided less than yemei onasa has passed, is only if the time of her vest has not come. The actual date. Shas means the time. So it can mean a clock time. You do have some women whose cycles are so regular that they actually start at a certain time of day. You do have that concept, and we're going to talk about it in the Masechta. Sometimes you have, but many of them, even the ones who have a regular vest, it's not necessarily so regular as to the time of day, but it's at least, you know, within a 12-hour period of the day. But shas vest just means the time, the expected date, whatever, of her vest. But Rav Huna would say, if the time of her vest has come, is also. Meaning, so let's say, for example, this woman we were talking about, who has a 20-day cycle, let's say. So if her husband comes back on the 20th day of the cycle, then we have a then he can't have relations with her unless he finds out that she actually hasn't that she actually did a bedissa. Alma, so therefore, kasava vestis daraisa, which means therefore we see from that that Rav Huna holds that the whole concept of a vest is daraisa. Rashi says Allah Kol Moshe Mitzinai, that once that time comes, she's considered to be tamei misaf, and the only way to fix that up would be to actually do a bedissa.
Why are we infer that it's
because
like
we infer that.
That?
Because otherwise, if we said if Higia Shach Vest Asura, why should she be automatically Asura? Why? If he came, let's say, on the 21st day, if he came on the 21st day, let's say, why would it be a problem? If she had actually bled on the 20th day, which is her regular cycle, then she would have told him. And the fact that she's not telling him implies that it's to her. And therefore it should be good. But only if we say vestis daraisa, then we say that once the 20th day has come, then if she didn't do a bedikah, then we already assume misafik that she's tummy.
And that implies it's
that implies daraisa, because if it's derabanan, then we know we're not machmir on misafik. Rabba Baba Chana Omer, afilu igia shas vesta nami mutaris. On the other hand, Rabba Baba Chana says that no, even if the time of her vest has come, she's also mutar. Meaning, again, we're not talking on the day of the vest. That for sure they have to separate. But if the time of the vest has passed, kasava vestis drabonim. Namely, therefore, Rabba Baba Chana holds that the concept of a vest is only drabonim. The Chachamim do require her to do a bedikah on the day of her vest in case she grieves. But if she doesn't, So let's say, in this case, her husband was out of town. We don't know if she did a bedikah or not. Rav Huna would say, nevertheless, we have to consider her tummy misafet, because it's highly likely it came on the date. And Rav Baba Chana, because vestis daraisa. And Rav Baba Chana saying, no, vestis d'rabbanan, and therefore we're not machmir to that degree. So therefore we'd be makel and say that, right.
So what's daraisa in general with machmir on a
suffix? In general, yeah, daraisa with machmir on a suffix, and d'rabbanan with makel, yeah. Actually, Tosfos says... Tosfos says we're actually not talking about. I said it inaccurately. We shouldn't be talking about literally the day after the vest. Fine, because then she could actually be tummy. What we mean is Tosfos says, let's say he came more than 7 days after. So let's say again with this woman who has a 20-day cycle. So let's say he came home on day 28. So then Rav Huna says, I don't care. We still have to consider there's a suffix whether she bled on the 20th. She may not have noticed it because she didn't do a bedikah. And therefore, even now, we have to consider her tummy the suffix. She won't have known that she was tummy. She won't have known to go to the mikveh or anything. Whereas Rav Baba Chana was saying, okay, she passed the 20th day. Nothing happened. Fine. Now it's the 28th day. Even if she had become tummy, conceivably there would have been enough time to tovel. So fine. Suffix tevila is mostly midei suffix rasa. Because it's a dirabanan and the other one is dirabanan and they can't, and the two sphakers cancel
right,
each other out. The other way is Rav Huna, which they start actually. Okay. Rav Ashi Masniha. The halacha actually is vestis dirabanan. However, the Gemara is going to mention various details over here that we do accept Rav Huna's position that vestis themselves are dirabanan in the sense that if the day passed and there was no re'iyah, we don't consider her tamei misafek. However, some of the details that we're going to be learning in the Gemara over here, we do nevertheless hold by, even though we say vestis d'rabbanan.
Certain
details we're going to see. Yeah. I mean, besides that also, I mean, we're learning according to Rashi over here. Again, you have a vast number of Rishonim who learn the Gemara here differently and have different understandings of certain details in it. Yeah. Okay. Rav Ashi Masni Hafi. Rav Ashi learned the discussion as follows. Starting with Omer Rav Huna, this that we said before. So the first version of Rav Huna, we said it depends whether she has a vest or not. We said that doesn't work because she has no vest. There's more reason to be there. So we said it means whether the time of her vest came. Rav Ashi is learning the line differently. Lo shonu ela she'en la vest le'yom. This that we're saying that she has a chesed tara, meaning even if the time of her vest has come, that would be, because after all, the Mishnah didn't distinguish. The Mishnah didn't say whether the time of her vest came. So that would only be she'ein la vest le'yomim if she doesn't have an exclusive vest of days, ela yesh la vest le'yomim l'kfit. She has a vest that's combined, a compound vest, which we talked about briefly in the previous paragraph, involving days and jumping. We talked about a case over there where she jumps every so often, and then she has a re'iyah on certain days of the week, let's say, and then shortly afterwards she has a re'iyah.
Why we didn't learn this previously?
Because previously we had a different version. We have a different now. We have a different version. Now Rav Ashi is saying his version of it. So what happens, in other words? So in other words, we say like this. Just the fact, let's say, that every 20 days, let's say, doesn't automatically mean that she's going to have her re'iyah. But every 20 days, whenever she jumps at the end of the 20 days, then she has her re'iyah shortly afterwards. So if that's the case, then we can say the fact that 20 days have passed doesn't necessarily mean she bled. Kibben de mice Italian milk, but given the whole thing depends on an action, she has to actually do the jumping. Then we have very good reason to assume that she's not Tomei in the first place. She didn't necessarily jump, and therefore she didn't become Tomei in the first place. Aval, but Rav Ashi would say that Rav Huna is saying, yesh la vest la yomim, if she has an exclusive vest of days, after la shamish, then she would be also to have relations after that day has passed.
And without having to jump.
Right, if her vest to begin with doesn't depend on jumping. If it's strictly every 20 days, then once more than... Again, that requires us to say that Rav Huna would hold Vestis Daraisa, because of course Darabanan, then again, like Tosfos says, once more than seven days happen and pass, and Sophic will be most immediate Sophic, right? And again, in Rav Ashi's version, Rav Babachana Amar Afilu Yeshla Vest LeYamim Muteres, Rav Babachana would say that no, even if her vest is exclusively based on days, she's also Booker. Pasava Vest is Dirabanan, because Rav Babachana holds that Vest is Dirabanan, and since they're Dirabanan, stop it. Can we mostly need a stop it? Okay. Amar of Shmuel Mishmedi. Well, the stop it. No. Forget about the jumping. We're saying that we're talking that she has a vest only based on days, right. But it's a stop it whether it came at that time. And then, so that's only a sopik drabbanon, because vest is a drabbanon, according to this. Opposite that, you have a sopik that maybe even, suppose it did happen, she became sopik. By now, there's been enough time that she could have gone to the mikveh. And therefore, a sopik cancels out another sopik where the original sopik was drabbanon. And Rashi points out, by the way, we left the expected amount of time. In other words, what we have is like this. We've learned before, again, we're talking on a Daraisa level over here, where you only have, once a woman has a Re'ia, she has to just wait the balance of the 7 days, and then she can go to the mikveh the night after. So in other words, if she bled for only 1 day, then she needs 6 days after it. If it was 2 days, then five. If it was 3 days, then four, et cetera. Now, you could have, a woman who bleeds continuously for more, not continuously, but whatever, who bleeds every day for more than 7 days. In that case, obviously, she can't go to the mikveh at the end of 7 days. So if the husband knows that his wife has that kind of cycle, where it takes 8 days, let's say, for her nidda bleeding to finish, then obviously, at the end of 7 days, you can't assume she'll have gone to the mikveh, then you have to allow 8 days. But what we mean is, in the usual case, where she only bleeds for one or two or three or four, whatever it is, days, then once 7 days have passed from that, then that's already, again, you have a
problem. Backwards, we don't say, if she, every cycle, she has only 3 days bleeding, regardless, she has to look for 7 days.
Then she always, right, she has to have one more, because that's what the Torah says. She must be on even
No, but she must be on even
it means,
she has to change
means,
on every
no,
cycle,
it means,
3 days only?
No, it means, in other words, that as long as the bleeding was less than 7 days, then she can go to the mikveh at the end of 7 days, on the night after the seventh day, and she's good. Again, we're not talking the way we do it nowadays. Forget for a moment what we learn in Chassam classes. Okay, fine. Okay. More on this topic. Amar of Shmuel b'Shmeidet of Yechanan. Isha sheyesh lo vest. Actually, here it is right here. Isha sheyesh lo vest. A woman who has a regular vest. We know, for example, that it's going to be every 20 days or every Rosh Chodesh or what have you. Baila machashiv yimei vest. So of all that, her husband can calculate, even if he was out of town. Levi, can you close it, please? Thank you. Okay, so if you're going to go through there, please close it after this. Okay. Amar of Shmuel Mishmeidet of Yechanan. Isha sheyesh lo vest. Again, a woman who has a regular vest. We know that there is a certain expected time when she can be expected to bleed. Baila machashiv yivei vesta. Her husband can calculate the days of her vest. If he was out of town and he's been, let's say, for more than 7 days after her vest, so now already it's in the time when she could be tahor. Fine. Uva aleha. And then he's allowed to have relations with her without asking, are you tahor? He's saying. Because again, it's based on the same concept that vest is drabanan, and therefore that the suffix can be mostly midday suffix. If he comes within the 7 days, then no. But if he comes after the 7 days, now already she's in the time when she could be tar. So here's where the Yerushalmi points out that this assumes that she toivels immediately on the night that she's supposed to. It's called Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. You actually have a machloikus, a poskim, whether Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. nowadays. It's negea. When a woman has to go to the mikveh, is she required to go to the mikveh on the night that she's actually able to or not? We say we pass in, and I think we pass in that Tevilah Bezman a lav mitzvah, which means that not necessarily would the Heter and the Gemara apply, because just, especially he was out of town, not necessarily would she have been toivled thinking that he might come back, because she wasn't expecting him back. Okay.
Well, that would imply that
it's Torah. No, that would imply, no, they're just Rabbanon, because Sofik might be Midei Sofik. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Yeva or Rav Abba, so Rav Shmuel bar Yeva asked Rav Abba, Omer Rav Yechanan afilu yalda de bezizel amitbal, would Rav Yechanan even say that this applies to a younger woman who was embarrassed tovel? Meaning, adshi chaisena, Rashi says, until her husband, like gets her in the mood. In other words, like when you have it, a woman has been married for a while, then yeah, she's used to the idea. Every month she's going to go to the mikveh and she's used to it. But when she's a newlywed, let's say, or an older, a younger girl or whatever, because apparently the idea is that the idea is, in other words, not necessarily is it a given that she'll have gone to the mikveh on the day that she's upon the night that she's supposed to. Maybe, maybe not. She's embarrassed. Rashi says she's embarrassed to tovel until her husband tells her that he because the pastor, I mean, we're talking about she's not really used to having relations yet. She's a younger lady. She's not used to it yet. So therefore, like it doesn't, you know. Anyway, Tosfos has a whole different understanding. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hanano and Rabbeinu Tam that the word is not yalda, meaning a young girl. The word is yolda, meaning she gave birth. And beziza, Tosfos says, does not mean that she's embarrassed. It means she's afraid because she just recently gave birth, and now she's afraid to go to the mikveh because she's weak. So the question, either way, the question is, Rav Yechanan is saying that we can assume that she tovel, that even if she became tamei, we have a sopik whether she toveled, and therefore that sopik, or not even a sopik, we can say maybe it's closer to a bade, maybe that she toveled, and therefore we're good. But what about if she didn't necessarily tell you? But what about if she's embarrassed to? What about if she's because she's well, for one thing, Tosfos mentions, for example, Tosfos brings over here from a Gemara in Shabbos, for example, that you have an example with Rava's wife, the daughter of Rav Chista, who toveled within 30 days after giving birth, and then she became sick because she caught a cold. Pastors, remember the Mekvaros in those days when he did. So for a woman, shortly after, for a couple of weeks after childbirth, to go to a cold mikveh, yeah, you know, b'cholta, v'amtia Rava lo arisa v'tzias, and then Rava had to, I mean, she got sick, v'amtia Rava lo arisa, and Rava had relations with her v'tzias, and that healed her because that warmed her up. Close that, please. Okay. So anyway, so the question is, either way you look at it, whether we're talking about a young woman who's embarrassed to go tovel, or whether we're talking about a woman who gave birth who was afraid to tovel, either way, why are we taking it as a given that she toveled? Omer lei, so Rav Abba answers, otiv vadei rosa mi omer Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan's not talking about the case where she definitely had her ear. The whole point is, if she definitely had her ear, sure, then you need a definite tevila to take that away. But Amr to Amr Rav Yechanan sofik rasa sofik lerasa. Rav Yechanan is only talking about a case where it's a sofik whether she had her ear or not. The imtimsal Amr rasa, and if she had her ear, Amr tavla, then you could say that she tovel. Aval vade rasa, but if she definitely had her ear, be Amr tavla. How could you say that it's possible that she toveled? Not good enough. Aval sofik uvade, the ain sofik mosi mide vade. A sofik is not good enough to take away a vade. Therefore, obviously, in that case, if we knew for a fact that she had her ear, then of course Rabbi Yechanan would have to say we can't just assume automatically she toveled. We'd have to find out, is she a younger woman, did she give birth, et cetera, et cetera. But like this, where it's only a suffix to begin with, then a suffix can take away from a suffix. So the question is, so the question is, Veloy, so you're telling me that not a suffix cannot cancel out a vaday? I have an example to the opposite. Vahatanya. Chover shemes of a chover, which is somebody who's careful with trumas and mice. So chover, in the narrower sense, means a tamar chacham. But it means basically a chover is somebody. Typically, a chover is a tamar chacham. Basically, it means somebody who's careful with trumas and mice and truma v'tal. So he can be a tamar chacham, but he's not necessarily. But usually. Right, well, nobody's careful with truma v'tal in that sense, right? Okay. The chover shemes v'iniach megura malei aseret. So he died, and he left a bin full of produce, and we don't know whether that produce had mice, truma, and now forget about truma v'tara, whether truma and mice were taken from it. If it was tamei, it wouldn't matter. You can still eat it as kolin. Kolin, you can eat as tamei. But afilu hen bnei yoimon, even if the pair, even if we know that the peiros were, even if we know that the gemar malacha was done that day, so let's say we recognize, we can see, for example, that the miruach, that the smoothing out of the pile was done. Right. So the question is, hare hen mecheskas mesukanim. We say it's not a problem. We give the fruit a chazaka of having had truma and nice are taken from it. Now, one second. V'ha'ha'ha v'adai tevel sofik ma'oto sofik animos. Here, there's no question it started out as tevel. It's a sofik whether he took mice or not, because he sofik or moisim ide v'adai. And yet we're saying that a sofik can cancel out a v'adai. The v'adai that was tevel, it had to be tevel at some point, right?
And
it's a suffix, right? The answer is no. Hosam vaday u vaday. Actually, in that case, it's a vaday against the vaday. Why is it such a vaday that he took truma and ma'aser? Kidder of Chanina Chayzah, like what Chanina Chayzah says, the Amr of Chanina Chayzah, chazaka al chaver, it's a chazaka about a chaver, and a chazaka for that purpose can be considered a vaday. She'edin moitzi, mitachas yodai, dober she'edin mesukan. Now, he will not let there go out of his possession, out of his control, something which has not been corrected.
He would have taken
truma and ma'aser before he died. Now, Yerushalmi on this mention, Tosfos quotes it over here, we're not talking about if he died unexpectedly, because you can't then, yeah. We're talking about, in other words, the expression is Shemesh Mitzvah Yishuv Adas. He died calmly and peacefully in bed or whatever, so then we can, he knew in advance he was going to die, so therefore he would make sure. Right. But let's say, for example, he was killed in a car accident, then you're not going to say that. It's a slaughter.
So we have this.
So one thing. So, right. So in other words, so in this case, the vaday against the vaday. The ibois emas sofik v'sofiku. Another way of understanding is you could say that this case of the chaver and his produce is actually a sofik against the sofik. What do you mean a sofik? Wasn't it vaday tevel at one point? No. The chidur of Oshia. Like Rav Oshia says, produce does not necessarily have to become tevel. Now, we have like this. Hold on. Rav Oshia is telling us a din which is agreed to. Okay, we have like this. In order for produce to be chayav in trumas and maizrus, on a daraisa level at least, you need to have gemar malacha was done, which is with different kinds of produce, you have different things. In the case of a pile of grain, for example, miruach, smoothing out the sides of the pile of the gemar malacha. Then on top of that, you have to have that it was raw of pnei habayis, that saw the front of your house, that it was brought in to the, it was brought into your house through the front door. Then it becomes chayev and shurma samaisus on a daraisa level, and you wouldn't be able to, if it wasn't brought in front of the house.
So either if it was brought into
the house before gemar malacha, or if it was brought in, for example, through a skylight in the roof or through the back entrance or whatever, then on a daraisa level, it's not considered tevel. On a derabanan level, it is, but on a daraisa level, it's not. Yes. The Omer of Oshia, Marim Adam al Tavuah, so a person can play a trick with his Tavuah to make it that he shouldn't be required to take Truma and Maisa from an Adaraisa level. Yeah, we've learned it many times. It comes up in a half dozen places. He can bring the grain in before Gemar Malacha while it still has the chaff with it. The chaff is the little bit of straw and whatever, the moist, the little straw and whatever that gets blown away, yeah. And the purpose is kadesh tehed behemta echelas. This way, his animal will be able to eat from it. Uptura mina meister, and it'll be potter from meister. Like this, if it was tevel daraisa, then you wouldn't be able to feed it to an animal. And even as far as feeding it to a person, fine. Midarabanan, you can't do it either. But a person will be able to eat from it achilas arai. A person will be able to eat a snack from it. At that point, so even after it's been cleaned of all the moist and everything inside the house, a person would be able to eat as a snack from it before taking truma and ma'aser, achilas arai. An animal would be able to eat achilas keva from it. So as long as it's not tevel daraisa, he's allowed to feed it to an animal. So here it wasn't necessarily ever tevel daraisa. It was only a suffix. It's only a topic whether he brought it in the normal way after Gemara Malacha. So therefore, that's good enough. Again, because we're talking to Rabbanans over here, therefore, topic can take away. So it is true, Rashi says, you do have a Vada to Rabbanan that people can't eat from it because of the Gzeira to Rabbanan. But here we're talking, but he, what we're saying is therefore that the topic is enough to take that, is enough to take that away. Yeah. Okay. So those are two answers. Either the Chavar's case is a Vada against the Vada, or it's a topic against the topic. Okay. still by copy ein sophic multimedia vade. So are you telling me then still that a sophic cannot take away from a vade? Vatanya, but we learn in a brisa, maisa b'shichase shal mosik echad b'rimon, and it happens with the maidservant, a shichachnanis, that belonged to a certain mosik in Rimon, is the name of a place. Mosik, Tosva says of you, with a samach, means mosik zesim, somebody whose job is to harvest the olives. In other places, in a few other places, in other places in Shas, in Psachim, for example, where it quotes the word is rather masik, which means a powerful person who causes trouble to other people. Whatever it was, either way, he was a yid. He had a maidservant, so his maidservant has the dinim of Tumah and Tara after giving birth as well. So it's just over here, brings from a Gemara in Shabbos that implies that. So this shivcha miscarried a fetus into a pit in the ground. Uva koyen vehetus. A koyen came and looked over into the edge of the pit. Later in zacharim nekeva to find out whether it was a boy or a girl, which will affect the question how long is he tamei or tahor for. Now why was he doing that? So Rashi gives a couple of explanations over here. One is that he wanted to pasken for her. He wanted to pasken. How many days did she tamei? How many days did she tahor? He's a rav, basically. Another possibility, Rashi says, is that she would regularly come to his house and handle his truma. So if she's tummy, he needs to know for how long she's tummy to know not to have her handle his truma. Rashi brings another explanation that he wanted to know when she's going to have to bring her korban, and he wanted to see whether it's going to be in his mishmer. Rashi doesn't really like that explanation. He says he doesn't really like the first explanation because the fact of the matter is, what's kind of, okay, you want to ask him for this woman, whether she's tummy or tahor or not, very nice, but you're a kohen, you're not allowed to become tummy mess, so what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Tosfos HaRosh also says, Tosfos HaRosh says, shoita haya. He's a shoita for doing that because he's not allowed. He's here to send somebody else, exactly right. Okay. Yeah. So what happened? So is he Tomei or is he Tahor? So the case was brought to the Chachamim, the Paskin on it, the Tiharuhu, and the Chachamim declared the Koyan Tomei. He was not Tomei from an oil amet. Tahor. The Tiharuhu, they declared him Tahor. Because Chulda and Bardlus, which are various kinds, a Chulda is a weasel or a ferret or whatever, a Bardlus is a skunk or a hyena or whatever. They're various kinds of animals, anyway. Mitsuyim Sham are very commonly found there in that pit. And therefore, in other words, we can assume that they dragged away the remains of the baby. And therefore, he didn't become Tomei. So that's the thing. I'm a face of it. The Sophic takes away from a Vade. It was a Vade baby thrown into there. And now you're saying because of the Sophic, he's Tomei. Right. So the answer is, so that's the question. The Vade Yitzim HaNefel, he or she definitely threw a baby in there. Sophic, Gerarut.
The animals go right down into the bar.
Why not? The Pashas is a wide bar on the bottom, and they have
not really bar.
It's a hole in the ground, yeah. It's only a suffix whether the holder or bardless dragged away the baby because he suffix or motzi midei vade. You're saying the suffix takes away from the vade and the kohen's not tummy. The answer is, don't say for a fact that she threw a baby into the pit, something like a fetus. So it's not certain whether it's something that would be in the tummy or not. So it's a suffix versus a suffix. The question is, what do you mean? But in Zachar in the Keva Katani. As the Bryce had said that he looked in there to see if it was a boy or a girl. So obviously there was a baby there and he's looking to see what. Yeah. The answer is Hakakama. What it means is like this. Uva Koin behaves by the Koin originally came and peeked in later in Nathali Pila in Ruach Pila. He wanted to see was an actual baby or was it only Ruach? Was it just an empty sack or something? The Im Tim Saloima Nathali Pila. And then further, he also wanted to see if it is an actual baby later in Zachar in the Keva. So not necessarily was there a baby there, so therefore it's suffix against suffix. The Boyisema, another possibility, you could say, given the holder or bardless in the Suyim Sham, since there are holders and bardless found in this pit, it's not just a suffix, vadei geru. You can say, even let's say there was a vadei, there was a baby there, but it's also a vadei that they will drag the fetus away, so it's a vadei against a vadei, and of course, vadei can, yeah, that works. Tosfos discusses over here, and then Tosfos HaRosh discusses in a little more detail, are we talking about Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim? If it was Rishus HaYachid on the face of it, then you always have Suffolk Toma of Rishus HaYachid is Tomei. So a couple of different doesn't matter. No, Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, as far as Toma, doesn't depend who owns it. It's not like a Shabbos. It depends whether there are three people there or not. The Pashtus, there aren't three people in the park.
The bar could have been in his yard.
It doesn't
three people.
Then it would be Rishus HaRabim, right. So that's right. So Tosfos and Tosfos HaRosh deal with a couple of possible angles on that. Maybe the opening of the bow is less than a tepach wide, so therefore truma is not going to come up through it unless the baby is directly below it. Once the holder of Bible is drag it away, then it's not directly below. Also, Tosfos the Rosh says maybe the bow itself is a shulchan yachid, and the area around it is a shulchan rabim. So therefore, even if they dragged it someplace underground and it happens to be directly under where the kohen is standing, fine, but he's standing in an area which is a shulchan rabim. It's chotzer where people are coming and going all the time.
Okay. So one second, but his head is over the pit.
That's the point. That's why Tosfos HaRosh and Tosfos talk about over here that we may be talking about that the entrance of the pit is less than a tepach wide, and then the only way the Truma would come up to him is only if it was directly underneath there. And since we have, again, so either it's a suffix, whether
the pit is
less than a tepach wide.
We need a tepach.
You need a tepach in general for Truma to be able to go through. Otherwise, it's just bakaf, ba'ola, bakaf, ba'ered. It just goes straight up and down, and then it would have to be like directly underneath him in order to be metamet.
But he was over the pit.
Well, that's the point. In other words, so then he didn't see anything. So therefore, the chacham won't matter him. Okay, fine. Okay, so getting back to the discussion about vestis, whether they're derais or derabanan, we haven't reached any conclusion. We had Rav Huna saying they're derais. We had Rav Baba Chana saying they're derabanan, and we had Rav Yechanan's din over here. About Sopik being able to be moist midday Sopik. Okay, so Bominem Rav Nachman. They asked of Nachman as follows, basically this question, Vestis the Araisa or the Rabbanon? What is the din? Is the Vest the Araisa? In which case we would say that if she doesn't do a Bedikah then we assume she's Tomei after that, right? So Rashi adds, even if later on she were to do a Bedikah and find it's Toher, we would still say, Orach Bizmanei Bo, we would still say that there's a Chazakah, that the period comes at the expected time. Where's the blood? A little bit came out, it fell onto the ground, nobody knows where it went. And therefore, we would assume she's coming. Mashenken, if we say, Vestis Drabbanon, then we would say, if she did a Bedikah a day or two later and found nothing, then good, it means that she missed, right? So what is it? Amalahu. Amalahu said, "If Nachman answers them, let's figure out like this. Nida Omer Huna Chavrin Mishmei Derav. Since Huna, our colleague, Rav Huna was a colleague of Rav Nachman, said in the name of Rav, Isha Sheyesh La Vest, a woman who has a vest, the Idea Shas Vesta, and the time of her vest came, the 20th day or a Shodesh or whatever it is, the Loy Bodka, she did not do a Bedikah on that day." All of a soif rasa, later on, at some later point, she saw a ria. Later on, she did a bedikah, and there she found... she had a ria. Chesheshes levesta v'chesheshes l'riyasa. What we say is she has to be concerned about her vest, and we have to be concerned about the ria. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, if the time of her vest is more than 24 hours before the Sriya. So let's say, for example, she has a 20-day cycle. Let's say the first time she did a Bedikah is on day 22. Then we're going to say from the 20th day and on, we're going to say that she's Tomei Mesopik because Orach Bizmanei Ba, because we expect it came on the 20th. She must have. Well, that's what we're going to figure out.
What would it be if it was
Deraita? He's going to say Alma Vesta Deraita. So, one second. First, Rav Nachman is telling us, let me tell you what Rav Huna said on the subject, and based on that, we'll be able to see whether he holds Deraita or Deraita.
What would you say? Let's assume it's Deraita.
Why don't we learn the Gemara and not worry about what I would say? Listen, what we're saying is like this. Okay, listen. She's supposed to have her Ria on the 20th.
Right.
She only got around to doing a Bedikah on the 22nd.
Right.
She found it tough.
Right.
Rav Huna is saying like this, Chesheshes Levestav, Chesheshes L'Riyasa means that, like this we would say, in other words, Misafik she's Tomei already from the 20th, because it may have happened on the 20th and now she only discovered it 2 days later. Then we would say not just Maslef, we wouldn't just say retroactively 24 hours.
From the 20th.
If she did the Bedikah within 24 hours of the expected vest, then we would say that the Chesheshes L'Riyasa, then we have the usual mess left from the Riyah, back 24 hours.
If she did it on the 21st.
She expects her vest to come, let's say in the middle, let's say at noon on the 20th, and instead, then she did the Bedikah, let's say on 6 o'clock in the morning on the 21st, then we would say mess left, back to 6 o'clock in the morning on the 20th. That's the Chesheshes Levesta, the Chesheshes L'Riyasa. Now, Tosfos points out that what about we learned in the previous parak, Rav Dosa says that if a woman has a vest, daya shaita, and the halacha is like him. But here what we're talking about is, but because the question is, if she has a vest, why do we assume the 24-hour thing? The one thing, Rav Huna has to agree with what the halacha is. The halacha is like Rav Doisa, the Tana, who says that if she has a regular vest, if we know that she's going to bleed every 20th day, then we're not choshesh that anything may have happened on the 19th, let's say. So why here? So Tosfos says, first of all, because this isn't at the regular time. This is she only checked on the 21st and found blood. So we don't know whether it happened on the 20th or the 21st. Therefore, we don't. Therefore, we have to say that maybe it's math less. Now that we wasn't the shot vest, then she doesn't have that halacha. Also, Tosfos learns. Also, Tosfos says another possibility would be when we say over here cheshesh levest of cheshesh l'riyasa could also mean that not about the meesles, but it means in other words that in terms of calculating when her cycle begins, when she can go to the mikveh or whatever, then she's going to have the problem that we learned about in the previous parak. Is it going to be, do we count from the day that she found the blood, or do we count from the day before, which is when it was expected to come? So then mekokelos, she's messed up, and we need a certain number of extra clean days in order for her to get back on track. Anyway, so since Rav Huna says that, Alma Vestis Daraisa. Therefore, we see Rav Huna holds that Vestis are Daraisa. Because he's saying that you have to be Machmer in these cases.
And he said what? When do you have to go back?
So therefore, that's what he's saying. Cheshesh Levestis, Cheshesh Leriyasa, Alma Vestis Daraisa. Therefore, we see that Rav Huna holds that Vestis are Daraisa. And he's saying in the name of Rab, so therefore, says Rav Nachman, and therefore, that's this, and then that's...
He holds it Daraisa because what?
Because we're choshesh for both of them, because we're choshesh for the vest and for the Re'iyah. We don't just say we go according to the Re'iyah, we also have to take the vest into consideration.
We may have to go back
a little before her expected time on the 20th, yeah.
What I don't understand is you can take both and you've got to either one or the other.
No. Cheshesh levesta means if her vest is more than 24 hours before the bedikka, then you have to be cheshesh all the way from the time of the vest. And if the vest is less than 24 hours before the bedikka, then you have to be cheshesh 24 hours before the bedikka. Ikadamri, a different version of how the discussion went. Hachika Amalahu, a different version is that Rav Nachman says to the people who asked him, Taima Dadrasa, what are we saying? Why are we saying that she found a Re'iyah on the first Bedikka? Then we assume that it's probable that if she had checked on the actual day, if she had checked on the 20th, she probably would have found it. Ha loy rasa, but implying that if she checks, let's say, on the 21st or 22nd and doesn't find anything, then we say, apparently, ein choshin, alma vestis did abanon. According to that version, then it comes out. We see from what Rav Huna is saying that actually on vestis only did abanon. Because the implication is, if it was deraisa, we wouldn't care. We would say, once the 20th comes, we assume her to be tamei, and if she found a clean bedikka afterwards, it doesn't matter. We still assume she had a little bit of blood on the 20th, and it just fell on the ground. So the two different ways of understanding, Rav Huna, right? Okay. Again, we said basically vestis did abanon, but there are certain dinim that we say over here that we are machmir. Okay. Itma. Isha shiesh la vest. Again, a woman who has a vest, v'yishach vesta, the time of her vest came, v'loy bodka, she did not do a bedikka then, all of a sudden bodka, later on she does a bedikka. So what happens later on? So what do we do? Amar Rav, so Rav says, like what we were quoting before from Rav Huna, bodka umot smeya smeya, if she checks and finds tome, then she's tomei, back to back to the time of her vest. Because again, if she had checked at the time of her vest, she probably would have found it also. Or
so if she checked on
the
22nd.
So if she checked on the 22nd,
from the 20th.
Tahora. But if she finds it's Tahor, then okay, it's Tahor, because then it means that nothing happened on the 20th. Or Shmuel, I'm after the Bodko Masa Tahora, Nami Smeya. Shmuel says no, even if she does a Bedikka and finds that she's Tahor, also we have to assume she's Tahor, Mnesha Orach Bizmaneba, because we can expect the Orach, So that's the question. Lema Bevestis Kamisidi. Does that mean that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about the Vestis? Demar Sova Daraisa or Mar Sova Dinabana? Apparently Shmuel considers them to be Daraisa, and therefore we have to be Machmir once the 20th came, regardless whether a Bedikka came out clean afterwards or not. And Rav would say it's Dinabana. Amr of Zeta, no. The Kula Alma Vestis Daraisa. We could say that both Rav and Shmuel agree Vestis Daraisa. The difference is, It depends how soon afterwards did she do the bedikka. when we said before, one second, when we said before, Vestas Daraisa, and Rav says that, and Rav says she's tummy, that's where she did not check, she did not check immediately afterwards, and at some later point she found, and she checked and found it to her. But if she checks the sheer vest after very short
20th day.
No, sheer vest means within a very short amount of time. The oisia, within the oisia that we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago, within like a very short amount of time that you would have. Like this we talked about over there, the time kadesh teres min amitza v'tedeach paneh, the time it takes to get out of bed and rinse herself. So that's what we're saying. We're saying over here that
she has a vest on the 20th of each month.
Right. So but not just on 20th, but not just on the 20th, but at a specific time on the 20th. Again,
you're going to say normally she gets tested at 1 o'clock. She checks at 3 o'clock. It could be.
Then that's what we're saying. It wasn't necessary. It didn't necessarily come up. It could be because it may be. So therefore, right. So Rashi says, "Hold to vestis derai." So it's Maya afilu l'Rav. This that we said, even according to Rav, that vestis derai. So Rav would say she's tummy, but shaloi bodka after the sheer vest. She didn't check herself immediately at the time when the vest is expected. Later on, she checks and she finds it tar. Then we would say it's Maya. But if she had checked immediately and didn't find it, then we can say she's tummy.
So it's a day and an hour.
So right, exactly. Sometimes the vest can rest. Rashi has a line over here. Rashi has another line over here, which Marsha says actually belongs in the Gemara itself, that the Ikadami, the Mar Omachodor, Mar Omachodor, Balei, that another explanation is that Rav and Shmuel are not actually arguing. They're both saying the same thing in two different ways. They're both agreeing again that Vestis Daraisa, and one's true, and they're both agreeing that Vestis Daraisa, and they're talking about how long afterwards did she check? So not necessarily, in other words, they're not actually arguing. They're just saying the same thing in two different ways. Okay. Rav Nachman Yitzchakam, the Vestis Gufayu Kamitvi. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says no. They actually are arguing about the Vestis themselves. The Marsava Vestis Daraisa, Marsava Vestis Darabanan. He says yes. Let's stick with the original assumption. Rav holds that Vestis only Darabanan. Shmuel holds their Daraisa. Okay. Almon of Sheshes Ketanoi. So Rav Sheshes says there's actually a Machlokes Tanoim on the subject. Rabbi Eliezer Oymetzneya Nida, that Rabbi Eliezer says that if the time of her vest came and she didn't do a Bedika, then we assume she's Tomei, then she's Tomei Nida, implying Vestis Daraisa. Rabbi Yeshua Oma Tibodik. Rabbi Yeshua says she has to do a Bedika, and if she finds it Tomei, then she's Tomei, and then if not, from back to the time of her vest, and if not, then she's her, meaning Vestis Darabanan right now. So here, by the way, Tosfos makes a point that what is the halacha Vestis Daraisa or Darabanan? One thing Tosfos says is since Rav Nachman Yitzchak is Basra, he's the last of the Amoroyim that we're talking about over here.
Not Rav Nachman.
Regular Rav Nachman, Rashi learns actually is Rav Nachman. Tosfos, in a couple of places, says that no, regular Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman by Yaakov. We'd have to go back in history to know, but whatever. The point is, Tosfos says that Rav Nachman Yitzchak is Basra. He is the latest of the Amoroyim to be discussing this. He's saying that Rav holds Vestis Darabanan, and since when it comes to Dina Isser Veheter, the halacha is like Rav, the result is that the halacha is like Rav Nachman's understanding of Rav.
Which Dina Isser
Veheter? Dina Isser Veheter includes Nidya, as opposed to Dina Mominus.
Basav Rechalav
is the Isser Veheter.
And Nida?
Nida is also, almost everything, except for Dini Mominus. Dini Mominus, the halacha like Shmuel. Okay.
So everything other than
Everything other than generally the halacha like Rabbi. Okay. So therefore, yeah. So Darabanan. But again, all of this is primarily talking about a woman who has a vest. The woman who doesn't have a vest is a little more complicated. Okay, fine. Vahani Tanoi, Kehani Tanoi, these Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, are actually having the same machlokas as we have in another place, between other Tanoim. The Tanya, Rabbi Meir and the Tzmeya, Nidav, Chachamim, Tibodik. The same machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you have between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim.
In terms of,
if you checked afterwards and didn't find the tweet, Rabbi Meir is the next generation, now, two generations after Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Omar Abaya, Afanan Nami Tanena, Abaya says we don't just need to resort to braises for it. We actually see it in a Mishnah. We learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta The mayor says, we learned this in the previous parak, if a woman was in hiding in fear for her life, the Giyashat Vesta, the time of her vest came, the Loy Bodka, she did not do a bedikah at that time, Tahara. Then we assume she's Tahar. Shecharoda Mesalek. One second. No, just the opposite. Shecharoda Mesalek Asladami. Because the fear, the fear that she's at, the fear of death takes away the blood, suspends the blood. Taima de Ika Charoda. So what do we see? Why is he Makel? Only because there's a Charoda, because there's this fear. Hal Leka Charoda, but if there was no Charoda, even though she didn't find anything at the time, and later on she finds that it's Tahar, Tnea, apparently Rameo would say she's Tame. Alma Vestis Daraisa. So we see that he holds that Vestis Daraisa. So the question is, Lema Hani Tanoi Bahon Nami Plegi. Should we say then that the following Braisa that we're going to quote is also based on this Machloikas Tanoi? Titania. We learn in a braisa, haroya dam machmas macha. If a woman is seeing a flow of blood because of an injury, so she has an injury in rashitas b'me'echa, which means generally in her inside. Some of the mechoshim. I'm having a bar mitzvah upstairs. That's why it's so noisy. I'll close the door. Okay. So she has an injury. Rashi says generally b'me'echa, which means in her inside. Some of the Mephoshim explain on Rashi, they explain that specifically it would be that in her womb. And blood is coming out. So now if blood is coming out of her even during the time that she would expect to be having a vest, the time of the owner, the time of the vest, whatever, then Tahora, we say that she's Tahor because we assume it came from the womb. The point is, now Tosfos says that we're talking about where she actually feels, she can actually say, I feel, I have a sensation that it's actually coming out of that womb. So in that case, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, so far, I mean, we haven't... Let's say. So she actually feels it's coming out from that. However, if we were to say vestis daraisa, and it is the time of her vest, then we would say, fine, granted, at least some of this blood is coming from that wound, but is necessarily all of it coming from that? Some of it might be coming from the regular lining of the uterus. And then therefore she'd be coming. The fact that the kind of camp divered of Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, apparently Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that Vestis only did Abana. Rebbe says no. Im yeshla vest chosheshes levesta. If she has a vest, then she has to be concerned. She has to be concerned about her vest. So my law b'hokamit. So he doesn't. It amount to then that must be the machloekis between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe. The mar sava vestis daraisa. Therefore, Rebbe would say, I don't care that she has a wound. Yes, the blood may be coming from that. She may even feel that it's coming from that, but it's not necessarily only from that. It's coming from that as well as from the regular lining of the uterus, and therefore it's tame. Or Mar Sava Vestis Darabanan, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel would say it's Darabanan, and therefore we're not worried about that. The answer is no. Amar Avinu Loi, not necessarily. There could be another point of this machlokes. The Kulei Alma Vestis Darabanan, both Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel may hold that Vestis are Drabanon. Here they can be arguing on the question, is the Mokar itself, the womb itself, considered a place of Tumah? Meaning, in other words, that, and we're going to talk about this concept, Mokar Mekoy Metameh, a few times later in the Masechta. There is one way of looking at it, is that all blood that comes through the uterus, even if it's not dam nida, it's fine. It doesn't make her nida per se, but nevertheless, the blood itself, having passed through the womb, becomes an avatoma, and therefore it's metame, a person who touches it. So therefore, it would be metame her.
Any blood
that comes through the uterus. In other words, let's say, for example, we're going to be talking in a couple of days on Yitzhak, tomorrow, Beth Hashem, we're going to be talking on Yitzhak of days. We're going to be talking about the layout of the relevant, the layout of the woman's reproductive system. We're going to be talking about what the implications of that are in halacha. Yitzhak of days, discussing with Aleph, we're going to talk about it. So let's say, for example, there's something it mentions in the Mishnah there, the Aliyah. And the Rambam, there's a couple of different explanations of what the Aliyah is. The Rambam explains that it means the ovary. So then, let's say, if you have a woman has an injury or something in her ovaries, which is bleeding, and then the blood is coming through there into the womb, if we say Mako Mekoyme Tome, we would not say she's nidya from it, fine, but we would say that nevertheless, the blood itself makes her Tome Tumas Erem.
One second, the blood from the Aliyah is the ovary, and they go down through the uterus, then she should be talking.
No, the dam nida is when you have blood that develops, not develops, whatever, when you have the lining of the uterus that's created there when she ovulates. As a result of the hormones and whatever, and then you have a lining that builds up over there in the uterus.
Does it have to originate from the uterus, or does it have to go through the uterus?
That's what we're saying over here. If we say makom makome tame, then it means the blood lining that normally forms in the uterus every month, that is matame her as a nida. If there's any other blood, for example, from the ovaries that passes through the uterus, then it would be tamei tumas erev. It would be matame as an avatuma, but only tumas erev, but not tumas nida. Right.
So she would have to go
to the mikveh. She'd have to go to the mikveh in the evening. Right? So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel sava isha tahora. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying the woman herself is tahor, the dam tamei. However, the blood itself, because it came from a wound in the uterus or someplace inside her, is tamei. Dikasi derech mako, because after all, it's coming out through the womb, and therefore it itself is tamei as an avatar.
That's not this question.
I didn't say that. Then I misunderstood your question, or you misunderstood my answer. I don't know. Okay, move on. But Amar Le Rebbe. So then, according to that, when Rebbe is saying to Rav Shimon Gamliel that Choshesheth Levesta, he's not coming to be Machmir and saying that she's Tomei. Just the opposite. But Amar Le Rebbe, E Choshesheth Levesta. If you, Rav Shimon Gamliel, are going to be concerned about the vest, Isha Nami Tmeya, then you should say she herself is Tomei, regular Tumas Nida, because after all, it came from the uterus, and therefore not necessarily is it exclusively from the womb. The E loy chayshes levest, and if you're not concerned about the vest, and you're saying therefore it's considered blood that comes only from a wound, which is not metame or tumas nida, then I say makor mekayme taharu. The actual womb itself is the place of tahara, not necessarily is blood that passes through it metame at all. Therefore, since it's blood, it's not blood from actual nida, then therefore it's not a problem. So in other words, if we understand the braisa that way, they're not arguing about the actual vest, whether it's deraisa or derabanan. They're arguing about this bleeding that's coming from some external source, other than regular menstrual bleeding. Is it tomei at all? Rav Shimon Gamliel says tomei tumas erev, and Rebbe is saying tahor completely. Okay, fine.
That's the
machlokes. But we do have other tanoim who are arguing whether that's the deraisa or derabanan.
What do they hold both of these?
So according to this last thing, they both hold a Zirabana. Therefore, we're not going to be machmir with a suffix that there might be dam nida mixed in. The only question is Mokum Mokayme Tomei or not? If Shem Gamliel says yes, Rebbe says no. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Sricha Beis Edim Akol Tashmish V'Tashmish. Now, we learned in the previous parak that a woman has to do bedikas before and after having relations. We said that primarily as far as Truma V'Kodshim. We said, according to most Rishonim, that's both before and after. She only needs to do it where she's being oisik with Truma and Kodshim. Therefore, nowadays, it's not an issue. According to the Rambam and the Rosh, it does apply nowadays also, because the purpose of it is to see whether she was Roya Machmas Tashmish. And therefore, according to the Rambam and the Rosh, she would need to do Bedikas afterwards, even nowadays, she and her husband. So we said over there that when there's Truma V'Kodshim involved, then there's a Bedikah before and after. So Beit Shammai says, if she and her husband are having relations multiple times in the same night, she needs to use two cloths for everyone, one before and one after. So now, it's nighttime, she won't be able to check them because it's dark, but she sets them aside, and the next day she can look at them and see whether she was Tomei. And then if we find that one of them was Tomei, then we're going to say then it depends how soon afterwards she did the Bedikah. Then we said that her husband might have to bring a chassos or might not, as the case may be. Oy teshamish la'or haner, or Beit Shammai says what she can do is she can have relations with her husband by candlelight, and then after the Tashmish, she'll be able to immediately check the day. Now we're going to see in the Gemara, it's not so simple that it means to actually have relations by candlelight. We'll talk about that in the Gemara, whether that's actually allowed. So we'll see. In the end, in the Gemara, we may...
What does it mean?
On the face of it, it means that one possibility is she saves the Bedikah cloths and checks them the next morning when it's daylight and there's light to see them. The other possibility is she can have relations with her husband by candlelight, and then that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Hold on. Batilo Imam Daya Bishne Adam Kalawai. The Batilo says that's not necessary. All you need is one aid before the first Tashmish of that night, one aid after the last one of that night. In between there might have been things. Since we're only making her Bardic anyway because of Paris, then we don't care. We don't worry about it. Batilo, of course, yeah. With that said, there are different other Rishonim who have a different explanation over here. That the Vez Adim, I'll call Tashmish or Tashmish, wouldn't mean one before and one after. It would mean one for herself and one for her husband to check afterwards, and after every Tashmish. And the Shammai and the Tilo would be saying all they need is one at the end.
Even not to check before the Tashmish.
Right.
How can you say that?
Because again, not necessarily. The accepted halacha is that only when it comes to Truma and Kodshim do you need a Bedikah before Tashmish, otherwise you don't. And even, right. Because the only reason to do a bedikah before Tashmish, we're not cautious for most women that they're going to be roya machmas Tashmish, except the first three times she has to do that to make sure, but after that not, and then according to those Rishonim, what the Mishnah is saying is that Shammai is saying that after every Tashmish, she and her husband need to use cloth, and Batilo is saying you don't need after every Tashmish, individually just one at the end of the night. Even though the Chachamim have said, which we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara, that a person who has relations by candlelight is meguna, it's a degrading thing to do for reasons that the Gemara is going to say later. Nevertheless, the Shama Imam Tzricha Shnei Edim Alkol Pashmish. Nevertheless, the Shama is still saying you need two aids. The connection is, one second, B'shamah M'tzrich Shnei Edim Apol Pashmish, Oy T'shamash L'or Haner, or B'shamah says you're going to have relations by candlelight, so even though it's Meguna, B'shamah says you don't have a choice.
Then you don't need
individually after every one, right. Right, because, well, then, no, then not that you don't need every B'dikah, but then you don't need to save them for the morning, because then you can check them immediately, right. Whereas Batilo says it's enough for her to have two Edim that last the whole night, and she'll do either, as Rashi said, one before and one after, one before the first Tashmish, one after the last Tashmish, and check them in the morning, or according to the other Rishonim, that she and her husband will do one after. We'll do one after the last Tashmish of the night.
She and her husband
will each wipe themselves one time after. Okay. Tanya, we learn in a bright. The Amar Lahem B'Shamay L'Bitzivu. Lidiv Reichem. Says B'Shamay L'Bitzivu. Why are you saying that you don't need a separate B'dikah for each time they have relations? Lidiv Reichem. According to your words, Lecho, shouldn't we have a concern? What if she has a drop of blood just the size of a mustard seed sometime during the first year, later on they're going to have relations a second time, they don't know that happened, Shichvas Zera is going to cover it, later on when she does a bedikah at the end of the night, the blood is going to be mixed in with Shichvas Zera and completely unrecognizable. So how can you allow that? Shouldn't you have to have that? You have to have a bedikah, therefore, every time after, in order that you don't have that issue. Amar lahem b'tilul. So the tilul answer to them after the divreichem. Nu, and according to your logic, how does it help do a bedikah individually for each tashmish? Leichosh adcha roish b'seichapeh. Don't you have to be concerned while the saliva is in the mouth, which is a euphemism for the blood is inside the rechem? Shemen nimoik v'holachoy. It could be dissolved and go away. Meaning, in other words, that Batilo is saying to Batshamai, look, and what's going to happen? You're saying that she has to do a bedikah immediately after Tashmish. So how does that help? It can also be covered up with Shichvas Zera and mixed in. So how is this? You're complaining. You Batshamai, are saying there's a problem because you're going to have a second bia and that could cover it up with Shichvas Zera. You and the first bia could also cover it with Shichvas Zera. So how are you any better off?
Implying, what are you gaining?
What are you gaining? What are you gaining? What are you gaining by doing a bedikah between every bia?
You could have it in the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Amru Lahem, so the Shama answers them, Lofisha in a German, Nimuk Hamachas and Nimuk Shepam. Fine, there is that point, but after all, you can't prevent them from having relations at all. It's not comparable for it to be nemoic, for it to be mixed in and then dissolved one time versus two times. In other words, after one time, it's still potentially noticeable.
No.
In other words, the point is that's why the Chana is saying you have a separate bedikah for every tashmish. Each time you're only going to have one time Shechvat Zera is covering it. Fine, that can still be recognizable. You can still find in the Shechvat Zera, you can find a one tip of Kachalga. But if you already had two times, then you're not going to recognize it. Tanya, we learn in a bright. So Omer Rabbi Yeshua Royani Yassidu B'Shamay. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I see the words of B'Shamay. In other words, even though Rabbi Yeshua himself usually represents B'Shilu, he's saying, in this regard, I find what B'Shamay is saying more logical, that indeed you should have to do a separate B'dika for each Tashmish. So Talmidim say to him, Rebbe, you're being so machmer on us. We have to do separate bedikas for every time, every tashmish. Every even herachta literally means making it long, but it was making it difficult for us. Techmaros Rashi says. Omer lahem mutav sha'ari chaleichem ba'olam hazeh. He says to them, better I should make it longer and more difficult for you in olam hazeh. Kadesh yarichu yameichem ba'olam hazeh. That's why you'll have a long life in olam hazeh, because otherwise you're possibly being ba'olam hazeh. Omer of Zera, Nidivrei Kulam Nilmad. So based on everything that we're saying over here, we do see Baal Nefesh Lo Yivo V'Yishne. We see from that, fine. But Shama is saying as an actual halacha that you need bedikas in between. Basilil is saying you don't need in between, but you do need at the end. Even Basilil is requiring at the end. So you do have a potential problem that she was Roya Machmas Tashmish. Therefore, says Rav Zera, Baal Nefesh Lo Yivo V'Yishne. Somebody who is extra careful, somebody who wants to be machmer on himself and as a Yoreh Shamayim, should be careful to not have relations a second time without doing a bedikah in between. One second. Rava Amar, Boyo Vashona, Rava says no. Even a Baal Nefesh could do again and again, as many times, Kitanyahi Vataris, because this whole concept that we're talking about over here is only when Taris are involved. We're not talking about the question of whether she's mutter to her husband. In other words, the whole concept is we're only saying that these bedikas are required once she requires them for Taris, and we're also requiring them before and after relations. But when Taris are not an issue, then just from the point of view of whether she's Roya Machmas Tashmish, we're not worried about it. And in fact, of course, you have the problem Tosfos brings from what we had in the previous perek. You don't want to have Libra Noikva. You don't want to have it. He's going to be so nervous that he's not going to have relations with her at all. Tanya Namihachi. In fact, we learn like that in a braisa. Bamed Varam Amun Lataris. When is all this talking about that you need all these bedikas is only when Taris are a relevant issue. When she is Oisik to Taris, she is involved with preparing food of Taris, Shroman, Med Kochim, Avala Baila Muteris, but as far as relations with her husband in and of itself, that's Mutter, we're not Muslim. So therefore, today, right, and even in those times, if she's not Oisik and Taris, right. And again, when is all this talking about? She nicha b'cheska tara. All this that we're saying that the husband is allowed to have relations with her without actually checking in advance is only if you left her b'cheska tara. Avli nicha b'cheska smeya. But if you left her, if when he left town she was b'cheska smeya, lo olam he b'cheska tara. She turned into a torah. Then she retains her chazaka unless she tells him that she's tara. Okay. One more thing then. Amar of Abba, Amar of Chia, Amar of Ashi, Bar Ashi, Amar Ab. Suppose that she did do a bedikah before Tashmish with a cloth, but Ovad, and then it got, Rashi says we're talking about before Tashmish, right? So she did a bedikah for Ovad, and then that cloth got lost. Asura l'shamish ad shetikdei. She's not allowed to have relations with her husband unless she does another bedikah. Masculine Abila. So Abila says why? Well, again, this is if we say that she's required to, whenever we say that she's required to do a bedikah for her husband, primarily that's for Taris, right. But it also means, for example, nowadays during the first three times when she has to do bedikah to make sure she wasn't really machmas tashmish.
Right.
So masculine Abila. So Abila asks why. Ilu Issa, if the cloth was still present, Miloy Mishamsha, wouldn't she be allowed to have relations Ba'apagat B'layada, even though she doesn't know whether it came out clean or not? Because we're saying it's at night, it's dark, they can't check it until the next morning, and nevertheless, fine, well, that's we're going to get the question where about being Mishamsh Lo Yodah, we're going to talk about that later on, but Hashanami Mishamsh, so the same thing over here, the cloth is lost, what's the problem? And if the cloth was there and we don't know what's on it, she's also allowed to. What's the problem? Amalei Rava. Rava says the difference is, Zu mechicha kayim, Zu ein mechicha kayim. The difference is, in the one case, at least you have the aid is present. She can look at it the next day. It does at least help as far as Taurus, because after all, this whole purpose is because of Taurus. So therefore, so like this, you have something to look at. If you don't find blood on Earth, then we know the Taurus that she did previously are Taurus. If we do find blood on Earth, then okay, we know that she was Mishamish while she was a Nida already, and she and her husband are going to be bringing Chatzos. But at least, but on the other hand, Bezu ain't Mechich HaKayim. But if the Eid isn't even present, then you don't even have that present. Where then what Takanas Chachamim is? It's as if she didn't do a Bedikka at all. At least if she did a Bedikka, eventually you'll be able to figure out what the situation was. But if you don't even have a cloth available anymore because it got lost, then we can't.
Because
the Bedikka before we're talking about, right? So that's what we're saying. So Tosis brings another explanation that we are talking about the Eid L'Acha Tashmish, that if she lost it, then she has to do another Bedikka before the next Tashmish.
But the Gemara really talks about the Eid before.
Well, there's two different ways of explaining. You have Rashbam's explanation and you have Tosis' explanation. But yeah. So either way, the point is, when you have the Eid present, yes, we can't check it right now, but that's okay. At least we'll be able to check it at some later point. But when it's not present, as Rashi says, Ma ha'ilu chachamim takanotim, then Ma takana chachamim yeshkan, and the whole takana chachamim then falls away, because the whole point is that you should do a bedikah and be able to check afterwards, and now you're not going to be able to do that.
So today, yes,
because we have the concept that we learned in the previous parak. You don't want to make that she's gone out by it. You don't want that her husband. So there is actually an interesting point. The Alter Rebbe, for example, wants to say that, I think some other Acharonim also say, that if the husband actually tells her, do a bedikka, then fine, because then you can't say that he's liber neikoi, he himself asked her to do it. Right. So if he tells her to, then that's one thing. But otherwise, no, she shouldn't be doing bedikkas before, and afterwards only the first three times to make sure that she wasn't really machna pashmish. And once that's over, then that's over, and yeah. Then the bedikkas that need to be done are only at the time of the vet, or if she doesn't have a vet kavua, then at the various possible times of the vet, or your beninus and onus achodesh and whatever.
And the three times only when she was psula.
No, that has nothing to do. No, the psula is a whole different matter. The fact that when she bleeds as a psula, we consider her as a nidya, but just to be on the safe side in case it's a dam chimur and whatever. No, what we're talking about is regular, the first three times she has relations, we have to be concerned. Even if she's not a psula, we have to be concerned that she's roya machna tashmish. It might be that the tashmish itself triggers her bleeding. The first three times that she and her husband have relations. So they got married, and because there's a possibility that maybe the tashmish brings it on. There's a concept called roya machna tashmish. It could be, whether it's the switching, whether it's the whatever it is exactly, it could be the size, whatever, could cause that it'll start her bleeding. Could be extra hormones, whatever. So therefore, she needs to check those first three times, says that Amon, and Shulchan Aruch, and after that, then she never needs to worry about it again. Okay.
Stop over here.